الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد all praise due to Allah and we ask Allah to exalt and mention and grant peace to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. As to what follows, we continue with the tafsir of Surah Al-An'am. وعليكم السلام. And we had stopped at ayah number 20 and today we will begin the discussion on that particular ayah inshallah. The ayah reads, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم الذين آتيناهم الكتاب يعرفونه كما يعرفون أبناءهم الذين خسروا أنفسهم فهم لا يؤمنون. Now, interestingly, I think I read 20 or did I read something else? How are you this morning, Mr. Abdul Majid? Those to whom we have given the scripture recognize it as they recognize their own sons. Those who will lose themselves in the hereafter do not believe. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, لما بين شهادته وشهادة رسوله على التوحيد. After Allah Azza wa Jal highlighted His own testimony and the testimony of His Messenger in regards to Tawheed, وشهادة المشركين الذين لا علم لديهم على ضده. And He further highlighted the testimony of the polytheists who had no knowledge of otherwise. ذكر أن أهل الكتاب من اليهود والنصارى يعرفونه. He mentioned that the people of the book, the Jews and the Christians, they know it. Now that's interesting because this is a this particular expression has become a source of fitna and misguidance in the ummah today. When you say min ahli al-kitab or min al-yahudi wa nasara or min ahli al-kitab, some people like to interpret this as that some of the people of the book. So they say, like for example, the ayah in Surah Al-Bayyinah is an evidence that not all Jews and Christians are kuffar. That not all Jews and Christians are kuffar. And the evidence they use is the preposition min. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَالْمُشْرِكِينَ فِي نَارِ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ شَرُّ الْبَرِيَةِ إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا مِنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ وَعَلَيْكُمْ سَلَامُ اللَّهِ. So they say min here, it means part or some of. But as you see the Shaykh's usage, when you say the people of the book here is in reference to the Jews and the Christians. But also, there were scriptures other than that, wasn't there? The who? What other scriptures do we have besides the those of the Jews and the Christians? Or besides the Torah and the Gospel? The Zabur, the Psalms of David, and the Suhuf Ibrahim, and the scriptures of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam. So trying to play with the preposition to deliver a meaning other than the one which is explained in the Quran in the most explicit way is unacceptable. So anyone who tells you not all Jews and Christians are kuffar, only some of them, then you say, you refer them, this is an ayah which is mutashabih, it is ambiguous, because of the preposition min, it could mean that only part of them. You take him to the ayah, I believe it's Surah An-Nisa. I think it's ayah 100 or 150. I have to go check, you can verify later. But the ayah is, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يُفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَ اللَّهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَيَقُولُونَ نُؤْمِنُ بِبَعْضٍ وَنَكْفُرُ بِبَعْضٍ وَيُرِيدُونَ أَن يَتَّخِذُوا بَيْنَ ذَلِكَ سَبِيلًا أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقًّا. It's an interesting ayah. Those who disbelieve in Allah and His messengers, and they want to make a distinction, they want to separate between Allah and His Messenger by saying we will believe in some and disbelieve in some. Like the Christians of today. Can a Christian reject the Prophet Muhammad and be a believer? Absolutely not. Once the message is delivered, then they're automatically ones who reject it. And Allah said, those who want to say we will believe in some of the messengers, say we believe in Jesus and Moses and Abraham, but we won't believe in Muhammad alayhi salam. and they want to take this path, Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْكَافِرُونَ حَقَّ. These are indeed the true disbelievers. يعني the highest level of disbelief is in those who try to make this distinction. So anyone at the time of the Prophet ﷺ who received the message of the Prophet ﷺ and rejected it is ultimately a disbeliever. Ultimately a disbeliever, and you cannot say some of the Jews and the Christians, some of those who had to do outward kufr and shirk and so on and so forth. Why? The rejection of the Prophet ﷺ is disbelief in and of itself. It's an act of disbelief in and of itself. Let alone when Jesus is worshipped along with Allah and Mary and so on and so forth. Anyways, we don't want to get off track here. The Shaykh said, أَيَّعْرِفُونَهُ أَيَّعْرِفُونَ صَحَّةَ التَّوْحِيدِ. So the Jews and the Christians, the people of the book particularly, they know the validity of Tawheed. كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. The same way they know their children. That's an interesting comparison. And those of you who are fathers know why. If you were at the park and there were a bunch of children playing at the park, how long does it take you to identify your child? Not even, right? From a glance of him, the way he walks, or the way he moves, or even if you heard his voice partially, you will know Allah told us your children. I mean, some people do get confused. Huh? They pick up someone else and say, oh, my bad, I'm sorry, you look like Muhammad. Muhammad! So, but that's not normal, right? Normally you know your children ala tul. So knowing your children, you know their habits, you know their manner of speaking, you know so many things about them. You pretty much know your children more than anyone else may know your children. And so the people of the book, they knew how valid Tawheed was, the same way they know their children. Yani they know in detail La ilaha illallah. They know that it entails that Allah, because Allah is the only creator, sustainer, provider, therefore He's the only one worthy of worship, therefore He has the most beautiful names and ultimate attributes. They know this stuff. But then of course it doesn't suit them that they accept it. أَيْلَا شَكَّ عَنْدَهُمْ فِيهِ بِوَجْهِ كَمَا أَنَّهُمْ لَا يَشْتَبِهُونَ بِأَوْلَادِهِمْ. There's no doubt in that, the same way they have no doubt when they look at their children. خُصُوصًا الْبَنِينَ الْمُلَازِمِينَ فِي الْغَالِبِ لِأَبْنَائِهِمْ. Specifically the male who are often with their fathers, you know, the kids who spend more time with their fathers. The fathers know their children very well. وَيَحْتَمِلُ أَنَّ الضَّمِيرَ عَائِدٌ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ مُحَمَّدٍ صلى الله عليه وسلم. And that's another possible interpretation. It could be that the ضمير, the possessive here in this particular sentence, is in reference to the Prophet ﷺ. أَيَّعْرِفُونَهُ أَيَّعْرِفُونَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صلى الله عليه وسلم كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. يَعْرِفُونَ, يَعْرِفُونَ is the verb. They know. Now in the Arabic language, when you add that ha, يَعْرِفُونَ هُ, that ha is a damir, right? It's a possessive in reference to, huh? Well, no, actually, it is general. You have to understand from the context, who is it referring to? Who is it referring to? For example, you said in English, he gave it back to them. Who is them? Could be the school, could be his friends, could be his parents. How will you figure out them? From the context. He went to the school, then he gave it back to them. خلاص. From that, you knew that them was the school. So the context will help you identify that pronoun. Pronoun, not possessive. That's what I wanted to say, pronoun. So the ha here is a pronoun.
Yeah, because the verse is talking about this creature. So it refers to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
That is the most common, alayhi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the most common interpretation that we know. The Shaykh mentioned two interpretations. That يعرفونه, that pronoun ha is in reference to Tawheed. They know Tawheed, like they know the children. Or the ha could be in reference to the Prophet ﷺ. So there's a principle in tafsir. Who knows this principle related to this particular conflict? It's not actually a conflict. It appears to be a conflict. Who knows the principle of tafsir in this? We've mentioned it like hundreds of times ever since we started these tafsir classes back in Surah Al-Fatiha.
They know that the Prophet will come in the future.
No, I'm speaking about a principle of tafsir, not about this particular ayah. The principle of tafsir says, if there's an ayah which has multiple interpretations, okay, and they do not contradict each other, we accept all of them. Because the Quran is majid. The Quran is very rich in its meaning, interpretation, implementation, so on and so forth. So we don't limit the Quran when there's no need for limitation. So as long as the ayah entertains multiple interpretations and they're all valid, then we say the ayah could mean A, B, C, D. We don't say it only means A, not B, C, D. Capish? You understand? If there is, however, in the interpretations a conflict, then you cannot say both are valid. So when Allah said to the woman, يَتَرَبَّصُونَ بِأَنفُسِهِمْ ثَلَاثَةَ قُرُوءٍ, that the woman have to, for the iddah, she has to remain for 3 quru. Some scholars say quru is a menstrual cycle. And some say quru is the freedom from menstrual cycle, meaning purity, the state of purity. Can we say that quru means both? No, why? Some scholars say it means menstruation and the other one say it means purity. Are these the same or opposite? Opposites, meaning we have to say one of the two is the proper interpretation. We can only accept one possible interpretation for this ayah because the interpretations provided conflict with each other. They're not harmonious. This one. Is it harmonious to say that they know the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam like they know their children and they know Tawheed like they know their children? Is there any conflict? No. The interpretation accommodates both, so we accept both. So while giving a lecture, you may refer to this ayah, and if needed, you refer to it as knowing the Prophet ﷺ, which is what we do when we give da'wah to the Jews and the Christians. Or you may refer to it as knowing Tawheed if you're giving a Tawheed class. Are we all on the same page, or is it too early in the morning? I'll drink the coffee to wake up. Huh? You should actually, it's available in the introduction of the tafsir of the Shaykh, in the same book. But يعني, the bottom line, يعني, إذا لم يكن هنالك تناقض بين تفسيرين فيقبل التفسيران. يعني, this is just wording, but there's, I remember in the introduction of the tafsir, the Shaykh mentioned some of the usul of tafsir and he gave a special paragraph for this one. So just read it from there, inshallah. It's better than my invented speech. المهم نعم. وأن أهل الكتاب لا يشتبهون بصحة رسالته ولا يمترون بها. And that the people of the book in reality have no doubt about the validity of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم's message. لما عندهم من البشارات به. Why? They have been giving glad tidings, specifically the Jews and the Christians. They were in their scripture until today in their distorted, distorted Bibles, which they have manufactured, if we may say, and they have put together on their own. Until now, with all the changes and the alterations and the modifications and the insertions and the deletions, until now, prophecies of the Prophet ﷺ are mentioned in the Bible. Until now. Those ones they didn't manage to get rid of. They played with them, they tried to change the translation and change the words and so on, so many things were attempted. But at the end of the day, until now, you can pretty much pick up the Bible and say, look, here's a reference of the advent or the coming of the Prophet ﷺ, Muhammad, from way back, from the time of Moses and onwards. So they knew, because they were given glad tidings in regards to the Prophet ﷺ. ونعوته التي تنطبق عليه ولا تصلح لغيره. And the descriptions or the attributes which are given to him that don't apply to anyone else. And this is exactly what Musa said, that it was said to Musa that Allah will send in the Bible, that Allah will send a messenger like unto you, a messenger like unto you, to who? Like unto Moses. And then if you go to the whole breakdown of comparing Musa to the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ versus Musa to Isa, you will find that Musa and Muhammad ﷺ have so much in common that there's no way that Allah was telling Musa about Jesus in this ayah, for example. This is clear cut. They were given descriptions. For example, one of the descriptions that in the Bible it says that Allah will put His words in His mouth. صح? أنا أريد أن القرآن وما ينطق عن الهوى إن هو إلا وحي يوحى. سبحان الله. He does not speak of his own desires, only revelation being given to him. And that everything will be in the name of Allah. And then you see in every surah, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I mean, clear descriptions of the Prophet alayhi wasalam. In the Bible, we see the people of the book saw their manifestations in the Messenger of Allah. Sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Naam. وَالْمَعْنَيَانِ مُتَلَازِمَانِ. Beautiful. That is exactly what I wanted. The Shaykh said, the two meanings go hand in hand. Because if they know the Prophet ﷺ, then they know Tawheed. And if they know Tawheed, they will know the Prophet ﷺ. So that Dhamir pronoun is in reference to both, because they actually complete each other. They supplement each other. No issues at all. قَوْلُهُ الَّذِينَ خَسِرُوا أَنفُسَهُمْ أي فَوَتُوهَا مَا خُلِقَتْ لَهُ مِنَ الْإِيمَانِ وَتَوْحِيدِ. Those who lost themselves. How does someone lose himself? The Shaykh said someone loses himself when he misses out on the reason why he was created. The reason behind his creation, which is Iman and Tawheed. Having faith and having Tawheed. Iman is not enough. Is Iman enough? Is Iman enough? No? Lay. Yes. Iman is having faith in something or believing strongly in something. صح? It could be false. The Buddhists have strong Iman in Buddha. And the Hindus in Brahma. And the Christians in Jesus. And so on and so forth. This is batil. صح? Iman batil. It's a false type of faith. Tawheed, however, is clear cut. Tawheed is oneness and uniqueness of Allah. And there's no false types of Tawheed. Because the Jews and the Christians and other people of the, you know, the different kuffar, even though they allege that they have some form of Tawheed, it will take you only 5 seconds to realize that it's a bunch of baloney. They have absolutely no Tawheed. Yani when a Hindu will tell you that he believes in one God, and then that one God has hundreds of and thousands of manifestations and so many intermediaries and intercessors and a huge list of idols and statues and elephants and rats and monkeys and all this, and there's one God? Are you kidding me? Yani, come on now. Or a Christian will tell you one God, then he'll tell you the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Where's the one God over there? The Jews will tell you one God, but they will tell you this God is miserly. He's stingy. Because he doesn't give enough. He was asking for a loan. Or that he got tired after he created the heavens and the earth in 6 days. Like the Jews. This is the crime of the Jews. They attribute to Allah Azza wa Jal the worst qualities that they don't even accept for themselves. The same as the mushrikeen. If you told the mushrik that you have a daughter, it's like you were cursing him out. It's an insult to tell the one of the Qurayshis that you were given a daughter. Your wife gave birth to a daughter. This is an insult. He doesn't want it. صح? He will even go and bury her alive. On the flip side, they say, the malaika are the daughters of Allah. And so that's why Allah criticized them in the Quran. In Surah As-Saffat. Yani, do you attribute to Allah what you hate for yourself? So they're better than Allah. Oh, the angels are the daughters of Allah. But us, no, we don't have daughters. This is an insult to us. Wow. How could that be? What are these double standards? So these are the Quraishis and their nonsense. So every type of kafir has some problem with Allah. Bottom line, every type of kafir has an issue with Allah. They have problems with their own creator. They have went against a natural disposition. So they become worthy of the fire. Very important to know, because some people say, man, fire eternally, that's a harsh punishment, man. I just, ma'alesh, yani, I'm trying to understand how is Allah merciful that he's going to put someone in hellfire forever. That's just a little too much. No, it is not too much, man. Who are you to tell Allah what's too much and what's not too much anyways? These people are the biggest criminals on earth. The biggest criminals on earth. They were created for one goal which they forgot about. And then they were given, supplied with everything they need to achieve this goal. Then they use all of these resources to do the exact opposite. Are you kidding me? That's the worst thing in the world. Yeah, they may be successful businessmen and educated people and blah, blah, blah. But at the end of the day, they use Allah's resources to associate partners with Him and worship idols and human beings and animals and you name it. How ludicrous. Then the people wonder why someone will be put in the hellfire. You would do the same thing if you were running your own business. You start a business, you hire 10 employees, and you give them everything they need, a fat salary, you give them cars, you give them medical coverage, you give them everything, and then these clowns will take all the resources and then manufacture some great products and then give it to the other company, which you're competing with. And then what are you going to do with these guys later? Oh, thank you so much, my dear employee. I'll give you a promotion now. Yeah, right, man. If you're a gangster, you will hire a hitman and get these skills, just wipe guys wiped out of this planet. But if you're a regular man, you're not going to kill someone. You will go through the whole legal process. And if the court told you, we have an execution, by the way, this act of theirs, and you know, is worthy of them being executed, you as a company owner who lost all of your money and all of your business, your whole career, you would go for the death sentence. Kill them all. And you would go there and watch them on the electric chair, and you would be like, yes, let him toast and fry to death. Some of them took my money, didn't do nothing. Human being. Because this is just too nasty for someone to do this. Take from you and they give it to someone else. This is breaking the agreement. You hired them on a contract to do a job for you, not for someone else. So if you can understand this in this very limited fashion among human beings, then you can understand it from a divine point of view. That this whole universe was created, and the heavens and the earth were made, and everything was set up perfectly for you human being to exist. So you can look at these signs and you can know your Lord, and then you don't care. And not only you don't care, no, you go the opposite direction. You do have a God that is not Allah. And you do devout yourself and worship to other than Allah. Alaykum salam. And you do exert yourself for other than Allah. All whilst, who are you getting your stuff from? From Allah. Your intellect, your vision, your money, your wealth, your family, all of it is from Allah. And your whole life you're dedicating it to someone else. Trust me, the hellfire is a very adequate punishment. Eternal hellfire. Because they were given so many chances which they did not take advantage of. It's just the way it is. So we praise Allah for Iman. Because that's the most valuable thing that you walk around with every day. Huh? The most valuable thing is that Allah made you a Muslim. Everything else, doesn't matter. Jobs, titles, positions, they don't matter. Someone can live a very fat lifestyle, and then when he's dead, it's all over. There will be no more fun. From the time they hit the grave, there will be no more fun. Even before they make it to the grave. From the time the malaika come, there will be no more fun forever. While you as a Muslim can suffer a lot in this dunya, and as soon as you die, there will be no more sorrow forever. No more forever, you will never feel sorrow again. Khalas, your journey towards Jannah begins from the time the angels come and take your soul. Look at this vast difference. You're talking about eternity. Eternity here. It's a big deal. And so this is what Tawheed is. This is understanding the value of Islam, the value of Iman, the value of Tawheed. And these Jews and the Christians, they know this very well. But they love the worldly life. Al-Muhim. Na'am. وَحَرَمُوهَا الْفَضْلِ مِنَ الْمَلِكِ الْمَجِيدِ. And they prevented themselves from the bounty, walaykum salam, of the king and the sovereign. فَهُمْ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ. Because of that, فَإِذَا لَمْ يُوجَدِ الْإِيمَانُ مِنْهُمْ فَلَا تَسَلْ عَنَ الْخَسَارِ وَالْشَرِ الَّذِي يَحْسُلَهُمْ. If they do not believe, the Shaykh said, don't even ask about the loss and the evil which will come from them. Once they reject, and that's why they say, it's an Arabic proverb. Excuse me. Bismillah. When you deal with the disbelievers, of course we don't paint everyone with the same brush. To be fair and square, yani. Sometimes we find among the kuffar Islamic traits that we don't find them among the Muslims. Truth, you know, be said. However, you also find from the kuffar some very nasty behavior. Cheating, lying, especially in businesses. So, this expression goes, لَيْسَ بَعْدَ الْكُفْرِ ذَنْبَ لَيْسَ بَعْدَ الْكُفْرِ ذَنْبَ. There is no sin after disbelief. Meaning, if someone has the audacity to disbelieve, then rest assured, he has the audacity to do anything greater than that. Or anything lesser than that, I'm sorry. Because there isn't anything greater than kufr. So if the person is able to reach a level of kufr, then you can pretty much expect anything else from them. Now it doesn't mean that everyone who commits kufr will do everything else that is lesser than that. No, because we said there are some people among the non-Muslims who are honest, who are sincere, who are dedicated. They have some good qualities which we Muslims should have actually to begin with, but we find them missing among some Muslims, present among some non-Muslims. But when you see from a non-Muslim some outlandish behavior that you say, how can someone do this? Remember, he's already disbelieved. So this is not a big deal for him. This is not a big deal. It's much easier to commit this kind of sin. Ayah 21. وَمَنْ أَظْلَمُ مِمَّنِ افْتَرَى عَلَى اللَّهِ كَذِبًا أَوْ كَذَّبَ بِآيَاتِهِ إِنَّهُ لَا يُفْلِحُ الظَّالِمُونَ. The Shaykh said, Rahimahullah, I'm sorry, the English interpretation is, and who is more unjust than one who invents about Allah a lie or denies His verses? Indeed, the wrongdoers will not succeed. The Shaykh said, Rahimahullah, أي لا أعظم ظلما وعنادا ممن كان فيه أحد الوصفين. There isn't anyone who is more oppressive nor more stubborn than he who has one of these two qualities. How about if both of them exist? فَكَيْفَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَ. If a person has one of these qualities, he's already at the top of the list of the people that are oppressive and stubborn. What about if he has two traits that will put him on top of the list? No one is worse than those who have these two qualities. If to iftira'u al-kadhibi 'ala Allah aw at-takdhibi bi ayatihi. Iftira is to invent. To invent a lie against Allah. To attribute to Allah Azza wa Jal what doesn't befit His majesty. How do the Christians do that? What did the Christians invent about Allah?
That He has a son.
Can anyone cite an ayah from the Quran that proves this statement of yours? Yeah, it's good to have general knowledge, but knowing the ayat is a whole other business here. That's the real da'wah. The real da'wah is knowing your evidences. You don't have to be some public speakers, or you have to say surah this, ayah this. That's not necessary. If you could, congratulations, it's a bonus for you. But that's not what we're referring to. It's about knowing the actual ayah. Even if you have to look it up, that's fine. Yani there are at least tens of ayat in the Quran about this allegation of Allah begetting a son. Surah Maryam, for example, Surah Taha, Surah As-Saffat, Ala innahum min ifkihim, Surah Al-Kahf, Ala innahum min ifkihim la yaqulun, Walad Allah, wa innahum la kadhibun. Verily, some of their lies is that they say Allah has begotten a son, and verily they are liars. Surah Al-Kahf, Wa yundhira alladhina qalu attakhadha. اتخذ الله ولدا, and to warn those who say that Allah has begotten a son. And Surah Maryam, وقالوا اتخذ الرحمن ولدا لقد جئتم شيئا إدا. They say that the most merciful has begotten a son, and so on and so forth. But you need to know at least one, because someone might tell you, where did you get this idea from? Where is it in your Quran that we Muslims, that Christians believe that Jesus is the son of Allah? You have to know how to prove it to them. You cannot be quoting the Bible all day. It will only get you so far. المهم أو التكذيب بآياته, or belying His signs. So there are two crimes. Belying what has come from Allah, that's one crime. And an additional crime is also inventing a lie against Allah. Yeah, and you reject what comes to you and then you invent something from your own. You see how it works? News come to you, you reject it. Information you invent, you attribute it to Allah. The biggest two crimes. فَأَنَّ هَذَا أَظْلَمَ النَّاسِ الَّتِي جَاءَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلُونَ. Those who deny the ayat which the messengers brought. The Shaykh said, this is the most oppressive of people. The most oppressive of people. SubhanAllah. Imagine, from all the war crimes and all kinds of things you can think of that are like dhulm, huh? This is the worst. 100%. The one who belies the signs of Allah or attributes a lie to Allah. وَالظَّالِمُ لَا يُفْلِحُ أَبَدًا. And the wrongdoer will never be successful. He will never be successful. He may get by in the dunya. He may get by in the dunya. As a hadith says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُهْمِنُ وَلَا يُمْهِلُ. يُمْهِلُ وَلَا يُهْمِلْ عَفْوًا. Verily Allah will give some time, some respite, but He will not neglect something. Allah may give the zalim some time to fix the situation, something. But once it's time to take him, then there will be no going back on it. Right? And as in Surah Ibrahim, I believe also there's a reference to that. Right? At the end of Surah Ibrahim, when Ibrahim starts to make the dua. Anyways, why am I going there? I'll leave it alone. أيوة ويدخل في هذا كل من كذب على الله. Included in this, everyone who lies against Allah. بالدعاء الشريك له والعوين. By claiming that there is a partner or an associate or there is an assistant to Allah or anyone who plays this particular role. So how many Muslims today fall into this category? Huh? Those who say the Prophet ﷺ is Hazir Nazir, right? The Prophet ﷺ knows the unseen. He knows what we're doing. He knows this. He knows that. He's present everywhere. He knows everything. And in that Qasidat al-Burda, this famous poem, what he said, وَمِنْ عُلُوبِكَ عِلْمُ اللَّوْحِ وَالْقَلَمِ. From among the knowledge you have, O Messenger of Allah, is the knowledge of the pen and the preserved tablet. Which is the knowledge of Allah? This is where Allah commanded to write everything. Everything that will ever take place. Allah commanded the qalam. The first thing Allah created was the qalam, the pen. And He commanded the pen to write everything. And these people say that that knowledge is part of the knowledge of the Prophet ﷺ, meaning he has even more. So that means it's more knowledge than Allah. Of course, besides seeking refuge with him and so on and so forth, and the list goes on. The list goes on. Now these are people today that are supposedly Muslims who have given the Prophet ﷺ such a status that makes him equal or even superior to Allah. Even though our deen is a deen of Tawheed, where this is supposed to be the last thing that you will ever do. But that's how it is. That's how it is. Subhanallah. And we were told by the Prophet ﷺ that the hour will not come until the ummah, this ummah will go back into this type of shirk. People will go back into this type of shirk, the shirk of jahiliyyah. And we see this type of shirk in our lives today, especially with the burnt out, Sufis and their masters and their shuyukh and their maulanas, whose pictures they hang in the corners of the ceilings and the walls, and everything is done through the murid, the relationship. It's a bunch of just really wild stuff. It has nothing to do with Islam. There are some moderate Sufis, but being a moderate Sufi doesn't really get you out of trouble. Maybe you're not falling into the types of shirk that other Sufis are falling into. That's good for you, congratulations. But you just cannot afford to be a Sufi. Even if you argue that Sufi at some point in time was something good and so on and so forth, we say all of these names bring nothing but trouble. And once you take on this title, then you take in all the baggage that comes with it. So you still have an issue somewhere down the line. So you just better off being a Muslim and calling it a day. Yeah? أو زعم أنه ينبغي أن يعبد غيره أو اتخذ له صاحبة أو ولدا. Or anyone who claims that other than Allah should be worshipped, or someone who has taken with Allah, or someone who claims that Allah has taken a wife or a son. That Allah has taken a wife or a son. وكل من رد الحق الذي جاءت به الرسل أو من قام مقامهم. And everyone who rejects the truth that the messengers have brought, or whoever represents the messengers, these are the most oppressive of people. Are the ones who reject the pure message of Islam, the pure message of Tawheed. These are the most oppressive of people. We have to understand this. So when we deal with people, when we categorize people in our minds, we have to know where to put them. This is why Islam taught us very strongly the issue of wala and bara, that has become somewhat lost in this day and time. Wala and bara, which is showing allegiance to, and bara is declaring your innocence from something else. and wala and bara is for the Muslims and the Muslimin versus the shirk and the mushrikeen. Because of this very profound reality. Now some people take it to another level where they wind up wronging the non-Muslims in the process. We say that's extreme. That is not what is being taught over here. But at the end of the day, Christmas events, Easter, whatever, Halloween, any of these the festivals or holidays or celebrations that they have come up with, you cannot be lenient about this stuff. You cannot be flexible with this stuff, because this goes against the very thing that differentiates the Muslims from the non-Muslims. Because now you're dealing with the matters of i'tiqad. So we have to be firm, very firm when it comes to these issues. This is not an area of compromise. An area of compromise is when you're dealing with them and you show kindness, you show so on and so forth as means of trying to bring them to Islam. But to go to the extent where you will join a Christmas event or Christmas celebration because you're trying to keep the kinship ties, or you're trying to be cool with the neighbors and you're trying to be blah blah blah. So how are you going to do this, man? This is an event. Even if the Christians have changed it today, it doesn't matter. In its very essence, drink with the right hand, barakallahu fik. In its very essence, Jesus, the Son of God, was born on the 25th of December. That's what it is. They can try to play around it as much as they like, but that's what it boils down to. So how are you going to be partaking in an event of this sort, where this crime of attributing children to Allah is being committed by these people? And you cannot control what happens in the Christmas party. If someone wanted to get up and give a little talk about, you know, Jesus the Lord and Savior and blah blah blah, what are you going to stop him and give him a lecture about Tawheed? Are you going to give him a lecture about Tawheed on Christmas Eve? Yeah, they're going to like it very much. I mean, you have to keep it. This is not a time for da'wah. It is not an opportunity for da'wah. Or I'll go to the Christmas event and I'll try to speak to this guy on the side, you know, and everything. In the meantime, I'll have some turkey and drink some wine and everything. It's okay just to set up the mood. This is da'wah opportunity. Stay at home, yeah, captain. This is not da'wah. Huh? Be careful of the shaitan tricking you, especially our brothers who have Christian family members. It's a big, big, you know, trap if you fall into it. Ayah number 22. Oh, wait a second, sir. Bismillah. Sabr, sabr, jama'ah. Aywa. وَيَوْمَ نَحْشُرُهُمْ جَمِيعًا ثُمَّ نَقُولُ لِلَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَيْنَ شُرَكَاؤُكُمُ الَّذِينَ كُنْتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ. Interesting. Bismillah. The Shaykh said, rahimahullah, or the interpretation of the meaning in English. Here we go. And mention, meaning O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the day we will gather them all together. Then we will say to those who associated others with Allah, where are your partners? Between, quote unquote, or between the, whatchamacallit, inverted commas, that you used to claim with him. Where are these partners, supposedly partners, that you were claiming with Allah? The Shaykh rahimahullah said, here we go. يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى عَنْ مَآلِ أَهْلِ الشِّرْكِ يَوْمَ الْقِيَمَةِ. Here Allah is telling us about the end result of the people of shirk on the day of resurrection. وَأَنَّهُمْ يُسْأَلُونَ وَيُوَبَّخُونَ فَيُقَالَهُمْ. And that they will be questioned and then they will be reprimanded. So it will be said to them, أَيْنَ شُرَكَاؤُكُمُ الَّذِينَ كُنْتُمْ تَزْعُمُونَ. Where are these partners? So now they will have to come up with some real quick solutions, not quick fix, and it's not going to happen. So when the Christians are going to be asked, where is Saint Christopher, and where is Saint Mark, and where is Mary, and where is Jesus, and where are all these gods that you worship with Allah? And the same goes for the Hindus and the Buddhists, where are they? Where are these partners that you have made with Allah? And the people of Quraysh will be asked about Allat wal Uzza, and so on and so forth. Right? And the people of Nuh will be asked about who? Waddan, Wasuwa'a, Wayaghutha, Wayaquqa, Wanasra. All of these people will be questioned about that. Those partners that they alleged. Ay inna Allah laysa lahu shariq. Meaning Allah does not have any partners. So you're only doing zam. Zam is like a claim, allegation. It's just a lie. It's not real. وَإِنَّمَا ذَلِكَ عَلَى وَجْهِ الزَّعْمِ مِنْهُمْ وَالْإِفْتِرَاءِ. This is only a lie that they have invented on their own. ثُمَّ لَمْ تَكُمْ فِتْنَتُهُمْ إِلَّا أَن قَالُوا وَاللَّهِ رَبِّنَا مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ. Interesting. Then, then there will be no excuse upon examination except they will say, by Allah, our Lord, we were not those who associated. They're lying now. Huh? They're going to lie on Yawm al-Qiyamah. The Shaykh said, ثُمَّ لَمْ تَكُمْ فِتْنَتُهُمْ أَيْ لَمْ يَكُنْ جَوَابُهُمْ حِينَ يُفْتَنُونَ وَيُخْتَمَرُونَ. Meaning their answer when they'll be exposed to this fitna, this trial of being questioned or interrogated, the only answer which they will give, إِلَّا إِنْكَارَهُمْ, they will deny their shirk. إِلَّا إِنْكَارَهُمْ لِشِرْكِهِمْ وَحَلْفِهِمْ أَنَّهُمْ مَا كَانُوا مُشْرِكِينَ. They say, we never associate upon us. Wallahi, we will never associate upon us. So they lie about Allah in the dunya, and they will try to lie against Allah on Yawm al-Qiyamah. أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَافِرِينَ. Verily the curse of Allah be upon the disbelievers. أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْكَاذِبِينَ. May the curse of Allah be upon the liars. So they will try to lie twice. They're lying now, and they will try to lie again on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Look at the audacity. They say, Wallahi Rabbina. They swear, by Allah, our Lord, مَا كُنَّا مُشْرِكِينَ. We were never among those who associated upon us. And they know deep inside that they are a bunch of liars. So, Allah said, انظر, انظر كيف كذبوا على أنفسهم وضل عنهم ما كانوا يفترون. So, see how they will lie about themselves, and lost from them will be what they used to invent. The Shaykh said, Rahimahullah, انظر متعجبا منهم ومن أحوالهم. Look as means of being amazed. Look in the form of amazement. Look how amazing it is. انظر كيف نبين لهم الآيات ثم انظر أن يؤفكون. Like another ayah. Look how we make the signs clear to them. It's amazing how clear the sign. Then look again how they turn away and divert from it. أَنْظُرْ مُتَعَجِّبًا مِنْهُمْ وَنَحْوَلِهِمْ كَيْفَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ. How they have lied against themselves. أَيْ كَذَبُوا كَذِبًا عَادَ بِالْخَسَارِ عَلَى أَنفُسِهِمْ وَضَرَّهُمْ وَاللَّهِ غَايَةُ الضَّرَرِ. They made a lie that has harmed them tremendously. A lie that backfired on them and has harmed them tremendously. وَضَلَّ عَنْهُمْ مَا كَانُوا يَفْتَرُونَ. And that which they used to invent is lost now. They cannot even grasp it. مِنَ الشُّرَكَاءِ الَّذِينَ زَعَمُوهُمْ مَعَ اللَّهِ تَعَالَ اللَّهِ عَنْ ذَلِكَ عُلُوًا كَبِيرًا. So all of these partners that they used to associate with Allah Azza wa Jal, all of them will be lost from them on Yawm al-Qiyamah. And high above Allah is of having any partners or associates as they claim and allege. So this concludes the tafsir of ayah number 24. Inshallah ta'ala, if we all remain alive and healthy, next week we'll be addressing ayah number 25, which is an interesting ayah as well. And whatever Allah facilitates afterwards, hadha wallahu a'lam, wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.